prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we have the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with my co-host, Ken O'Neill. And of course, we're going to be talking with Sherry Baptiste this first hour as a result of our last interview with her when we started to just touch on yoga with weights. But let's get underway. Would you please reintroduce our guest, Sherry Baptiste?
Well, I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to introduce the topic, too. And, okay. And there's a certain irony or synchronicity that the second hour has to do with how people aren't mice physiologically. What they share in common with this hour is that we humans have a marked tendency to get locked into our beliefs, our paradigms. Do you remember Chernobyl?
Yes. Who can forget it?
Well, when Chernobyl was in the process of melting down, the advanced Soviet scientists and engineers that had built it were in utter disbelief. The evidence was there that it was melting down, but by their calculations, by their beliefs, that was impossible. So as it melted down, they went into it, inspected the reactors, and couldn't imagine what these large chunks of glowing material were, because it was impossible that anything adverse could happen to it. Well, within 6 months, most of them died due to massive radiation exposure, and Chernobyl had failed. And in a similar fashion, we tend to abide by what we're taught, how we have come to understand things. Certainly in science, one of the people we're trying to get on is Rupert Sheldrake, author of Setting Science Free of Science. In Sherry's case, Sherry has a unique background in that she was born and raised in yoga. Most of us do something akin to go out and seek it and convert it. And the problem with conversion, as a friend of mine, a Zen master, used to say, the average newbie to Zen thinks that they have to shave their head, sit on the floor on tatami mats, and eat with chopsticks to do it right. In other words, we confuse the baby with the bathwater. And in the case of yoga, our stereotypes about yoga were formulated by people that are, we call today, colonialists. They're the British and others that were colonizing India for economic advantage and encapsulated yoga in the misunderstandings that 19th century Protestants would superimpose on other people's traditions. And what I find so unique with Sherry's work in yoga with weights is, whether or not she knows it, she's doing what a lot of people are doing in Sanskrit and in religious studies in the academy. She's doing post-colonial yoga. She's not taking us back to the doctrine of Anglo forefathers of a century ago with their dictates about what authentic yoga is supposed to be. Her work penetrates to the core of it and is organic in the way that yoga has always been, in that it has a vehicle to expand, to grow, to evolve, to renew. And so we're honored to have Sherry Baptiste here again, from the Baptiste family of pioneering American yogis and yoginis in San Francisco. And not only yoga, but the integration of yoga with weight training, bodybuilding, nutrition as life. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ken, and good morning, Carl. Thank you again for having me on the show.
Of course.
It's my honor and privilege to be here with you guys. And, you know, what you're touching on there, I so appreciate the opening and setting that foreground behind us. And what's really brought us to this point in time as teachers and practitioners in all of this work, you know, my father, Walt Baptiste, in some of his early writings, Modern Philosophy, he was the editor of a wonderful magazine, which has become a collector's item in the 1950s. And in his early writings in 1949, in one of the openings, he talks about exactly what Ken is mentioning, that deeper realm of our human being, both physically, mentally, emotionally, the whole unit. He opens one of his great writings, Body Modern Philosophy, by saying, "We express the idea that man is not alone a physical body, not merely mental, is he entirely spiritual. For man is a combined total of all three states of being, each personality expressing mostly from one or another consciousness, yet seldom, if ever, as a whole unit." And then so our family work was based on really recognizing our, you know, qualities, the human beingness of who we really are, and really learning the secrets of being the master athlete in life, all of these beautiful consciousness.
Are there any plans to publish his writings for modern readers?
I'm working on it. Notice that I've been very, very busy, but it's definitely in the works, and I've been working closely with my mother, who is 93 now at this point, amazing Magaña Baptiste in San Francisco, and we are working on the collections. There is a possibility of a book coming out next year on some of my father's writings and teachings, and a cool book. We'll see what happens with it all.
Just to give the listeners some reference, I sent Sherry last week, I believe it was, a photo that had popped up on one of the Facebook has several accounts that are about the golden era and the era before that of weightlifting and bodybuilding. And there was a photo of Armin Tanney. If you know the name Armin Tanney, in the late 40s and 50s, he was one of the tops in bodybuilding, and there wasn't a distinction then between pro and amateur. You either were or you weren't. Exceptional figure. He and three other people who he had won the contest, and the other two were second and third place. Together, as I understand it, was Sherry's father, who was the promoter of the contest and appeared on stage in posing trunks and was every bit as big as Armin Tanney. Which is not an image we tend to have of people doing yoga as being like a large bodybuilder. So there's a lot to be learned there. There's a lot that we need to catch up with.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick up on the other side. This is Transevolutionary Fitness Radio with Ken O'Neill. And we're talking with Sherry Baptiste. Okay, so let's get back on track here. So what made Sherry's dad so much more different than the average person and what the average person thinks can be accomplished from yoga? What was he doing differently?
Well, you know, if I may speak, I noticed
Please.
Ken brought it up two incredible points. One, that I was born into a legacy of teachers, a family in San Francisco, a phenomenal people, Magaña and Walt Baptiste, who really created space for yoga center, but also the physical culture realm. And with a deeper understanding of what the physical culture realm really awakens, you know, there's such intelligence, a treasure trove within each one of us. And when you, and I'm utilizing the weights a lot, as we'll bring up later, but when you even pick up a bit of weight and consciously from the breath, working with the mind and the quality of thought and quality of presence and being in the moment, we're awakening. It's not that the weight has the intelligence. We're awakening intelligences within ourselves. My father, he was a great leader, a great example, a great teacher to countless thousands and thousands. He lived, breathed this lifestyle of understanding of the deeper consciousness, and that we are this balanced in our true nature of a whole unit, you know. And he really saw that the purpose of life was to grow, to expand, to become more whole in who we really are. So in my upbringing, again, and as an observer who really saw and watched people coming in and getting phenomenal results, it was the balanced integrity of understanding the realms of both integrative techniques or systems of the physical culture utilizing weights, but also the consciousness of the mind and the body and the breath, who we really are. I'm a native-born San Franciscan, and I cannot go any longer without bringing up our champions yesterday, the San Francisco Giants. And what I know, I was there on Sunday for one of the World Series games at AT&T Park. It was incredible. And then, of course, the last two games and watching phenomenal players on both teams and just some of the self-mastery and development that they've attained to really bring the game. It almost felt like this year took all of us on a ride to a new level of just experiencing a team. And I'm speaking of San Francisco because I've been observing them in the last 5 years and last 3 years in particular since 2012 as a team that has a connection with one another. There's a different sort of vibe going on with them. And you see they're sort of getting out of the way and they're really allowing the quality of their inner teammanship, compassion, or connection with one another to happen. They're exceptional examples, just observing these young men in play at this level. I watched, and I, as a yogi and conscious in this whole realm of the mind in action and creating sort of a set of training of the inner mind and thought, you know, when they made that tremendous play yesterday, and I heard the some of the hosts talking about that it was purely instinctual. Well, I think it's even bigger than that. It is instinct that allowed them just to throw the ball, the timing, all of these plays we're watching. But it's also being in what we know as athletes, of being in the zone. You speak to any great Olympic champion. You speak to somebody like great swimmers, you know, Diane Nyad, these ones, Diana Nyad, who have achieved this. They get into a realm of being in the zone. They're moment to moment, breath into breath. This is the yogi in action. They may not know, but these are the yogic of purposeful and potential being fully realized in life, in action, whatever we're doing. So in observing the plays yesterday, you see the seamless timing. They're all getting out of the way. They're out of their head. But the mind, the body, the connections, the vibration of movement, it's all in sync without having any time to think about it. I was observing our pitcher, Baumgarten, in his, you know, as he sits quietly. I've observed that, and I've heard commentators also speaking about they're not quite sure what that is. And I'm observing as a yogi watching this young man at 25, mm-hmm. conserving and holding his energy instead of wasting it out with all this sort of needless movement, needless chatter, needless talking that really drains the nervous system. He's already figured out that to sustain his energy, he's holding an inner focus. And he's in the moment. And after when he was being interviewed and they were trying to ask him, you know, what he was he thinking ahead and what it meant and all this and that, he said, no, not at all. He kept having to kind of really hold that point with them. They wanted to hear something else, but he said, no, he was just pitching. He was in the moment of pitching. One breath into breath, moment into moment, pitching. One pitch at a time. And that is the quality and realm of what yoga, the consciousness of yoga, allows us in our lives as we're running around doing all that we do, not to waste or expend precious energy, but to utilize it for sort of higher climbs in this life, and not only personally for our health first, our well-being, our connections with family and one another and business and everything, but also then to set certain grooves. You know, with Diane Nyad, when she was doing her phenomenal swim from Cuba to Miami, she had an inner mantra, which is a yogic technique of just she felt that she was pulling Miami towards her, Florida towards her,
yeah.
and pushing Cuba away. So that was an internal mantra.
Interesting.
She even went
into... Well, this is just incredible, because what Sherry, in my estimation, is doing is laying out for us that the standard descriptions that we've had of yoga are short-sighted. They're incomplete.
Yeah.
Sherry is, in a way, reiterating what Michael Murphy did a few months ago. He gave the same descriptions of Frank Zane. In his book, he's given the same descriptions of the San Francisco 49ers at play 40 years ago at Kezar Stadium. With the parapsychologist Rhea White, he did a whole book called In the Zone, which chronicles decades and decades of athletes. And what is Mike's background? Yoga.
Yeah.
Okay. He comes out of Sri Aurobindo's teachings. And in both cases, what we're finding is what I'm writing something right now called Normal Died. And what it is that our normal way of understanding the world is inadequate, and when it dies, hopefully, it opens us up to the paranormal. And I don't mean something spooky. By that, we have systematically deprived ourselves of the almost miraculous beauty and energy that sustains us, that is us, that these yogic disciplines stand to open us up to remembering who we really are. Would you agree with that, Sherry?
Oh, absolutely. No, beautifully stated and beautifully said.
But I don't mean to cut you off. We have to go into a break. But I also think that there's listeners out there who are saying, yeah, I understand all this, but yoga building muscle sounds intriguing. And while that was the long way around the horn, what I want to do is come back and I just want to briefly touch on loading and time under tension, because I could see how yoga with weights could actually be more beneficial than just going in and doing reps.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to talk about that when we come back. So let's
call it Bodhi building.
Okay, Bodhi. I like that, Bodhi building. All right, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll also tell you how you can reach out to Sherry Baptiste. Stay tuned. You're listening to Transevolutionary Fitness Radio.
You create misery, have your cake and eat it.
Welcome back. Let's go ahead and have Sherry tell the listeners how they can learn more about her, and then I think Ken and I have decided on the questioning that should follow, and I'm going to let Ken lead that. So, Sherry, how can people reach out to you?
Thank you, Carl. I'd like to invite people to go to my website, powerofyoga.com or sherrybaptiste.com, and in there you'll see current events happening this weekend. I'm leading a group up to Green Gulch Zen Center here in Marin County again. I also do a lot of work with the Tassajara and the San Francisco Zen Center. I've been teaching with their abbots for about 5 years now and leading groups up to Green Gulch on retreat for about 15 years. So we utilize the qualities of the mind and the yoga combined with the beautiful Zen environments as well. That's one of the events. And then also on my website, you'll see an upcoming Yoga with Weights 12-week online learning course that we launched last year. This will be our fifth run of it beginning on January 24th. And I really want to encourage your listeners, whoever is really considering bringing alive the techniques and the training of what yoga really is, not just scratching on the surface of it, as Ken mentioned earlier, but really the depth of being in it and how it, the potential it brings alive in our own lives. This 12-week course is from the absolute beginner who wants to learn more about yoga and then adding some weights lightly to it, to really the more clinical, those interested in the clinical understanding. It brings alive whatever level of expertise or understanding you are at this point, your evolution in it. I will carry you forward. I mentor you through the 12 weeks. I will carry you forward in your process. You'll love the outcome with it. And then I have a phenomenal, beautiful women's retreat. I work very much with a lot of women, the power of the feminine force, who we really are as women. I think a lot of women have not quite discovered their beauty, their depth, their grace, their being that allows our own authenticity to come alive, and also for us to be the best with these wonderful men in our lives, including Carl and Ken, who are so wonderfully bringing me onto their show. So join me. Please visit my website, powerofyoga.com.
Now, Ken, so for the listeners who are uninitiated here, how can we get to the bottom of maybe looking at specific movements, the types of things that maybe Sherry's dad did?
That's important to say. And to preface that, I want to make a remark so that we don't miss it. Sometimes when we're too close to something, we don't have perspective. With what Sherry was saying about athletes and what Murphy has said about athletes, something to keep in mind is that athletes tend to unwittingly enter yogic spaces and do yogic activities and understand that somehow in those magic moments they're in the zone and they're performing well above average. They're in peak performance. Then they don't know how to get back there. It becomes exceedingly frustrating. Artists experience the same thing. I think that often the reason artists succumb to alcohol and drugs is they're looking for a way to mount that galloping stallion and write again in that flow that produces Hemingway-type writing. So the advantage of yogic orientation is that, one, we have a map, and two, we have a vocabulary, we have a language, we have a way of understanding where we are, where we're going, and the kinds of things that can and do happen to us along the way. We're not overwhelmed and lost in powerful new experience. There was a story about Mike Spino in 1970 doing a 10K run. And as he did it, he felt that his skin was dissolving, that his bones were dissolving, that he was turning into energy moving through space-time. And he was overtaken at the end by an overwhelming sobbing in terms of both great joy and a recognition. He couldn't tell anybody about this. They'd think he was nuts. Well, you move into yoga, there's a lot of things that happen to us when we have focused discipline and apply them to activity. Martial arts is one case where there's a tremendous, not only lore, but practical guidance. Yoga is another. Now, with respect to movement, I think the question here is, Sherry's done a book on yoga with weights that is incredible. I think that the fitness industry does not provide very good guidance. It provides a lot of confusion. Here we have a book that just about anybody at any age can take and employ over months, years, can get her DVDs and go with it and enjoy considerable benefits that affect their health, their fitness, their wellness. What about athletes that want to go that next step, be it a swimmer, be it a bodybuilder, be it, any athlete? What can they do?
Wonderful points and very important points for our listeners. Just to touch on what you're talking about, you know, the athlete in life, we are definitely, and we'll get to the yoga with weights, which really holds a space of a practice, a physical practice, but it goes beyond that as we're physically practicing. But when you're speaking of the power of all of this, the athlete, we're looking in the Baptiste family work, it's that human potentialist stuff of the athlete in life, wherever we're taking ourselves. And as an example of this, there's an interesting movie out right now. It's an interesting flick, Yogananda. It's called Awake, Yogananda's Life. And as it turns out in our family history, too, my father's uncle, Joseph Baptiste, in the 1920s or 30s, when Yogananda first came to California and was down in L.A., Joseph Baptiste was a student of his, and he ended up being Yogananda's sponsor. So there's sort of this spiritual vein that flows through people. But the spirituality, which is an interesting word to try to define, when you think about it, it is about pure potential. It's about unlimited potential. In this flick, in this movie that I just saw last week, it showed excellent interviews going on in there, many with people like George Harrison, who would talk about the mind and how we create threads. It was like Diana, Nyad, as I mentioned earlier, was creating threads of thought. So is Baumgarten, where they're creating threads of thought for pure potential. They're directing the thought, they're directing the mind, the consciousness into one set realm, which is that athlete in life. In the movie, they talked about Yogananda's book in there. Now, Yogananda is the author of Autobiography of a Yogi, and Autobiography of a Yogi is the most read book in the world next to the Bible. Steve Jobs found that book, and he's interviewed in there, and it talks about how it saved his life. And early on as a young man when he was struggling to find his own personal direction. And we see what Steve Jobs, now if you look at somebody like that, that's an athlete, there's an peak performance. This is peak performance training. And an athleticism of the bigger scheme of who we really are going on in this. At Steve Jobs' memorial, they handed out to every single of the thousands, whoever, one of the copies of Autobiography of a Yogi. And he used to keep a stack of them in his home and give them out. So I think what Ken is really speaking to here is there's a much bigger picture going on. And these techniques and this training speaks to that. In my book, Yoga with Weights, it's one of the For Dummies brands of book by Sherry Baptiste, released a few years ago. It, and of course, the For Dummies brands of books is the biggest selling book, brand book in the world. And in there I talk a lot about, we begin the process. This is actually the book we use as the manual for the 12-week course that I mentioned earlier. And in there, there's a step-by-step, the way we sort of evolve into it, in through the yogic techniques, which allow us to come more fully into our own lives and our own pure potential, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And then we start to add the weights to all of this. Just to touch on the books, in February of 2015, Wiley Publishers approached me again. They approached me to write the first book, but they are doing an all-in-one book. And in the last couple of months, they're drawing from the best of all their yoga books and my Yoga with Weights books. It's going to be my Yoga with Weights book is a 400-page book. The new book, All in One, coming out February 2015, is a 500-page book, and they're using about 120 pages, so more than 20% of the book will be from me. And it incorporates my five chapters on the Yoga with Weights exercises, over 100 exercises, updated a bit in there for that. And then they've asked me to do the chapter on mind-body connection and on the breath work, on the breathing, pranayama and all that stuff. So you're going to have another book coming out carrying the Yoga with Weights forward to another level again, very timely and fresh in February 2015. So what happens, what I see with the Yoga with Weights, what I'm noticing as I've been teaching this in the last years here locally in Marin County and at conferences around the country, is that it's very much a gateway practice. It brings in people who would never walk into a yoga room. I'm getting a lot of those people who are curious about yoga. They don't want to do it. They say they just don't want to sit still. It's too much. And they don't want to do all of that. So the Yoga with Weights, what we're doing with that is we're using a physio ball, I call them the yoga balls. We use one of the physio balls. We sit on it for the opening of the class. I'm doing a lot of neural pathway work with it, where we're doing a lot of keeping the body guessing, keeping the brain on its toes, movement from the breath-based movement with light weights that is yoga-based, and cultivating a quality of movement that creates balance, coordination, timing. What I'm noticing in the younger people, and during the summer I get all the college students in my classes and stuff, they're loving the fitness level of it.
I hate to do this, Sherry. I hate to be the bearer of annoying news, but we have to go into a break. We've gone a few minutes long on this segment. So if you could hold that thought about the younger students.
Yes.
When we come back for the break, I promise you'll get to answer that question. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio. Okay. Welcome back to the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show. So, Sherry, when I forced us to go into the break, you were talking about some of the younger students that you see coming in and some issues that you see.
Yes, absolutely. When I've taught in the high schools here in Marin County, I've worked a lot with more of the senior groups in the high schools, freshmen to seniors, but I've noticed a lot of the football players, all of those, really want to come in and take the power of yoga and the yoga with weights training that I offer. And by putting the weights, especially into the young men's hands, it gives something tangible, something to hold on to, something to really connect to. And I've noticed in the younger women in their teens and in their 20s, coming home from college, who come to the classes during the summer, that they want to keep moving. They want the activity. They want the constant, you know, flow of gentle instruction, guidance to keep moving the bodies. But at the same time, you can see them by the end of 45 minutes or an hour class that there's a deeper, there's a more enhanced quality of presence in them. They become a little bit clearer. Their focus, their thought might be scattered all over the place when they come into the room, and my work as a teacher and guide is to start to pull that energy together. And then you see it transform about 20 minutes into the practice. You see the younger generations, and if you can think of this kind of a practice being practiced all the time, think of where that will lead them into their future. So it's sort of foundational with them, getting them going in it. What I've noticed in men and women in their 30s, especially the women, because we have a lot of mothers here in the county who come to classes and they've got children and homes and they're just really constantly going. And that's who they are in their 30s and even into their early 40s. They want to work out. They want to kind of take their mind off. They want their mind to just, they want to be sort of mindless for an hour. But with because they've got so much on their mind. And but to see what happens again, you strap the weights on. You put the ankle weights on, you light weights. I'm using very light weights, 3-pounders on the ankles, 3 pounds in the hands for the guys. They're using 5 8-pounders, 10-pound max for the men, 5-pound max for the women. But it awakens that intelligence within the body. So you see them also, there's almost like a sigh of relief and release by the end of the class. They've been held in the room. They've had something that's kept them moving, yet it has a little deeper value. And by its very nature, these practices are changing the biochemistry of the brain. We are not the same when we enter that room an hour before to when we leave. And you can feel it in the room. It's powerful. And then what I'm noticing with the 40s, 50s, and 60s is confidence. They come in, they're practicing. You can slow things down a bit with them. And they are you feel a confidence building. You also feel like where people came in and they were more minimized in their presence when you first meet them, over a couple of months, you feel a quality of presence showing up in people in the room that's quite different.
You know, this is something important, too, and something that I've been thinking a lot about and noticing a lot about. And sometimes when we say, oh, you get confidence, and people think that's this esoteric, you know, touchy-feely thing, like, oh, I'm more confident about. But I'll tell you something. As you age, anxiety starts to kick in about just about everything and anything. And anxiety, to a lot of people, you think it's a nuisance, but anxiety could lead to an early death. Anxiety, unchecked anxiety, can force somebody into a cardiac event. And so that confidence, for lack of better terms, I like to think of more so as an ability to kind of bulletproof the central nervous system, which as we age, we start to succumb to fears, just about general life in general. And this type of resistance training imparts that quote-unquote confidence. But also, I can see how this type of controlled dynamic movement with added resistance can do the same thing.
Oh, great. Wow. Great points, Carl. Wonderful. Really. Yes. And it's a deliberate, the yoga with weights that we practice, part of my hardest work is to get people to slow down, to consciously, on the inhalation, to lift the weights or exhalation. We use both directions of the breath in the yoga with weights practice. But consciously to inhale and exhale. And your point, what is happening, it's an internal reaction you're changing. You change not only the biochemistry, but the biorhythms. There's a quality of something called entrainment. This is where, you know, the heart, the rhythms of the blood pressure, this and that, it's all synchronizing like a fine-tuned, you know, Swiss watch. It's all sinking in into sync again. We came into the world with it synchronized, but somehow with all the dynamics as you spoke to, well, there we get pulled, you know. Life is challenging. Life is a lot. I'm in the mix with everybody. I'm on the streets with everybody here. And what I found in these principles and techniques that we're training and what I've brought into the yoga with weights without watering it down, is that these definitely, this deliberate practice, this quality, integrity of holding the integrity of it, yet making it user-friendly, current, fresh, insightful for what we're practicing, people are getting fast results. And what I am seeing is that in one class, people are like, wow, I love that. I can feel that already. They'll come back the next week or to the next class and they'll say, I got so much out of that 1 hour. And, so it's fast. The benefits are noticeable within the first class. People feel it. That's why they come back for more. And it accelerates what people might take months or a couple of years to get from the yoga, unless they're really dedicated and really committed to just getting into it. The yoga with weights somehow is, again, it carries people forward in a lot of levels. And then just to touch on to what I'm seeing beyond the 40s, 50s, and 60s as a phenomenal maintenance and just a powerhouse of wonderful personal feeling great in life stuff. I'm noticing that with the older, I'm getting some of the older community too, quite a few working with the seniors who are amazing. I mean, I'm in awe of them. But it really restores a physical, so when we speak of that word confidence, there's a physical confidence, but you don't think about it. It's like our ball players. They didn't think about it. They just are that. You feel you walk forward. You're comfortable in your own body. In the older adults, I see them coming back into the classes and they start to really restore their physical well-being, their physical confidence, their balance, their coordination, timing. And it's also what I've also noticed, people coming in with injuries, it rehabs because we're using the lighter weight. So it's an intelligent form of exercise. It's not what I see sometimes walking by a room where people are just pumping a weight.
Right.
They're not even there, and they're going to get hurt.
Right.
This is a safe practice.
Sherry, I'm sorry. We only have a minute and a half. I also want to make sure we plug your contact information once again before we end the show. So how can people reach you if they want instruction or if they are already involved in yoga and want to learn this form of yoga to teach their clients, their students?
Thank you so much. And, yes, again, I'm going to bring them back to my website, which is Power of Yoga. There is a contact form in there that they can fill out that comes to me directly and to no one else. So if they would like to ask me any questions, if they'd like to learn more about any of the programs or the retreats or the trainings, I'm here for them, and I'd love to help them in any way that I can to the best of my abilities. And also, I would love to encourage your listeners to really give themselves 3 months next year, beginning January 24th, to jump in with us and do this online learning course. It's video-rich. It's got over 40 video clips in it. You're using my book, Yoga with Weights for Dummies, as the manual. I am with the group from the start to the finish, working actively with them with each week and the bit of homework we give them and the practices. I'm there for them. So please join us.
Very good. Ken, we have to pull the plug. Thank you so much for all your hard work.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay. And Sherry,
thank you, Sherry.
Yes, thank you for being on the show again, Sherry.
Thank you, Carl, and thank you, Ken, so much.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. You know,